For those of you who are visiting us today because it's Mother's Day, we're 3 weeks into a series on prayer. And we've been looking at why do we pray? That was our first week. And last week we looked at adoration and how important that is to focus our hearts, to reorientate our hearts to God. And one of the things that David mentioned last week, it really stuck with me. Most people's biggest problem with prayer is God. I'm going to say that again. Most people's biggest problem with prayer is God. Sometimes we might envisage a God that is scowling a little, maybe a little bit disappointed with our efforts, and then needing to be placated or persuaded by our prayers. Is it any wonder that some of us, maybe many of us, sometimes find prayer a little hard and not that enjoyable? And so we're trying to look at a real honest take on prayer over these 8 weeks that we look at this together. How do you make prayer enjoyable? How do you make it something that you don't do as a chore, but actually long to sit down and meet with God? I think last week there was a real secret is adoration. When we start there, when we lift up the name of Jesus, and that can be done in so many ways. For me, I find it really helpful to look outside, to lift my gaze. And in the early morning when the sun's coming up and the stars are still twinkling, it is just magnificent. For you, it might be music that just lifts your heart. It might be like that song, Fairest Lord Jesus. I don't know how you were while you were singing that this morning, but I wasn't getting too many words out there by the time I got to the third or fourth verse. It is a beautiful way of lifting our hearts and adoring Jesus. And so when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he starts, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." When we start there, we don't focus on our efforts. We don't focus on what we've done or what we haven't done. We don't focus on us maybe missing the mark. We put all of our focus on God. And adoring him, it's telling our hearts to praise him, to lift him up. The practice of adoration helps us to understand, to know that God really does love our company. He waits and longs for us to spend time with him. So today we're into our third week on our series, and we're looking at petition today, which is simply talking to God about what we need. And in the Lord's Prayer, the verse is, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'd like to show you a quick photo of Coles just down the road here. If that's a sign of our times, I don't know what it is. It used to be really simple. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us our daily bread," it was fresh or stale. But we have soy and linseed. We have wholemeal, whole grain, 5 seeds, white. For the old timers out there, white bread. We have gluten-free bread. We have high protein, low carb, low GI. It gets a little bit confusing, but still, as inundated for choice as it is, bread is our staple. I don't know about you, but I'm buying lots of loaves every week. It's toast in the morning. It's sandwiches for lunch. It just seems to be this staple part of our diet. Maybe Jesus is saying here, ask God to help with the small, everyday stuff. Our daily bread. Our bread for this day. After reading Pete Gregg's book earlier on this year, I was really challenged about praying more often for the everyday small stuff in my life. And just the fruit of just praying more often, not for the big things, but just the little things. I used to, maybe with a bit of pride, and awful to say that out loud, but I used to think, I've never prayed for a car parking spot. Until this year, until after reading this book. I used to think it was beneath God. God had more important things to take care of than me needing a car parking spot in the Rockstar car park right out front. Praying a prayer like that, surely I'm only wasting God's time and my time. Do you remember what David said last week? Most people's biggest problem with prayer is God. If I don't think that God cares about the small stuff in my life, or he has more important things to take care of, what will happen when something big comes along? So for me, 18 years ago, my first wife was really sick, and I really struggled to pray. There were lots of reasons for this. Primarily fear. I was overwhelmed. I was in shock. It all happened really, really quickly. But one of my reasons was, why should God heal Amanda when there is so much need in our world? There are children starving. There is war. There is poverty and disease everywhere I look. What makes me special? What makes Amanda special? Is it selfish to expect that God should intervene for my problem when there are much bigger problems in the world? Can you see that that reasoning isn't too dissimilar with God doesn't really care about a car parking spot? The scale is a whole lot bigger and much more important. But the thinking behind that stays the same. Why bother with God when there are so much bigger things for him to look after? But Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus wants us to ask him to talk to him about the everyday small stuff that we need help with. In Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, he says, when we pray about the small things in life, we begin to live with greater gratitude. And he goes on, by filling our days with tiny prayers, we relinquish our sense of entitlement and receive each detail as a blessing, each coincidence as a tiny miracle, training our neural pathways to, as Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That praying continually, I think it's us talking to God about the everyday small stuff. The training of our neural pathways doesn't happen. It will not happen when we just pray for the big things. Training our neural pathways is all about repetition. It's all about the little things, the daily coming to God about our daily bread. That's how we form a habit. We pray about the little things like, what are we going to eat for today? You know, what am I going to pack in my child's lunchbox? How are my children doing at school? Who should I, as Ian led us so beautifully, who comes to mind and how should I pray for that person in need today? It's just a daily habit, and our neural pathways are transformed. And we can do this instruction, this guidance, as Paul talks about, to pray continually. Now, why do we ask God for what we need? You might have some questions here. Doesn't God already know what we need? Have you ever wondered that? Can't God be trusted to do the right thing, regardless of whether I ask him or not? Surely. Do you have your own questions on prayer? And I wonder, the very thought of praying daily about the small stuff, do you have a question that really kind of sits on your heart? There was a few chuckles about the car parking spot, so I wonder today, what is the question that you have about the small things? And I invite you to look behind that question and see, what does it say about God and your view of God? So we're going to have a quick look at the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus, because I think that short story reveals to us some of the reasons why we pray. From the passage that Malachi read to us, you might recall Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road. He is begging. He's been begging for years, perhaps, sitting in this same spot on his cloak, hoping that people will stop and help him out. And one day he hears that Jesus is passing through town. And so Bartimaeus calls out. He's heard about Jesus. And so he calls out for help. And the crowd shush him. Stay back there, Bartimaeus. Just stay back there. Keep quiet. He has more important things to attend to. Surely Jesus has more important things to attend to. But Bartimaeus refuses to be silenced, and he keeps calling out. And eventually Jesus hears the commotion, and he calls him over and he asks him a surprising question. What do you want me to do for you? What's your daily bread, Bartimaeus? Now, I'm not sure how you're feeling about this, but as I'm trying to imagine Bartimaeus, I'm thinking he's probably a bit exasperated by now. Surely it's kind of obvious, Jesus. It's obvious to everyone in the township of Jericho. It's been obvious every day of my life, perhaps. Lord, I want to see. I want to be healed. The story of the healing of Bartimaeus reminds us it's not enough to sit silently in the crowd wishing for a miracle. Jesus wants us to ask. Praying is all about asking God for what it is that we need. Why do we need to ask? Firstly, the act of asking is relational in a way that just wishful thinking isn't. Jesus could have healed him as he passed by. But Jesus wanted to meet Bartimaeus. And he wanted Bartimaeus to meet him. Prayer, our daily prayer, praying for our daily bread is relational. It's getting to know God. It's getting to know how to hear his voice. You know, I can tell what Michelle's voice is like because I hear it every day. You know, that's what a relationship is, isn't it? It's daily, ongoing, it's getting to know. Prayer is all about relational, getting to know Jesus more. Why do we need to ask? It makes us vulnerable. I don't quite like being vulnerable. In fact, I don't like it one bit. But vulnerability is all over this story. Bartimaeus was vulnerable. He relied on others for his livelihood. He relied on the gift of alms. And when he did somehow believe that there is something possible for him, he yells out, another act of vulnerability. He yells out in a crowd, shushing him, telling him to be quiet. But he persists. And that final act of getting up and leaving his cloak behind, a blind man leaving his cloak behind in a crowded scene, maybe there's no going back. In every ask, in every daily bread in your life, the small and the big, it all involves faith. Vulnerability kind of encourages faith. And why do we need to ask? Because asking is intentional. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" It seems a strange question, but Jesus often asked that of people in his healing ministry. What do you want me to do for you? He doesn't encroach. He doesn't push himself upon them. He waits to be welcomed. And so very intentionally, Bartimaeus says, "Lord, I want to recover my sight." Intentionality takes practice. It takes a regular time of meeting with Jesus. I invite you, friends, to be really intentional and vulnerable and relational with Jesus as you go out into this week, to ask him for the small stuff and the big stuff. There's this verse that kind of sits in John's gospel that's really challenging, and Ian alluded to it earlier in our meeting. It's John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." It's risky to believe that verse, isn't it? Have you ever looked at that verse longingly, wishing, hoping? Praying in the name of Jesus, if you ask me anything in my name, praying in the name of Jesus isn't kind of like a little magical formula that we stick at the end of our prayer. Praying in the name of Jesus means wanting what God wants, aligning our wills with his will, our words with his word, and our personal preferences with his eternal and universal purposes. That can only come when we are familiar, when we know Jesus really, really well. To know what in the name of Jesus means, we need to be talking to Jesus all the time. It's talking about our everyday concerns and needs. It's learning to listen and to know his voice and becoming aware of what God wants. So enough talk about petition. Let's pray. And I invite you, friends, let's pray together this morning. What is it that you need? What is your daily bread? The small stuff and maybe the big stuff. What are the things in your life that you've been praying about for some time? And so your daily prayer might feel like it's on repeat. I'm going to invite you, as the team comes and sings a song over us this morning, to come and use our place of prayer.